B-Pod Studios.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money in the thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money in the bank.
It's that time on a Friday. RJ Bell, pregame.com, Fox Sports Radio National, on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ Bell from Vegas, right now with us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. RJ, what's up?
Oh, you know, wasn't a great game last night for the Pats, but looking ahead to the weekend.
Yeah, not good. Not good last night. We're talking about that a lot today, but we want to have a more positive note.
Yes, yes.
Hey, a more positive segment, yes.
RJ, I had kind of like an overall like betting question for you last week about lines. I have another one. Just out of curiosity, how often or to what degree does the line match the actual result? Obviously, last night's line was way off from the results. So just, does anybody like keep track of that? Like every week, NFL, here's the line of the game, here's what it ended up being. But do you know what that
yeah.
number generally is?
So are we talking about general variance?
Yes.
Or are we talking about how often does it hit the exact number?
No, general variance.
All right. So, for those that remember a little bit of statistics, you have a concept called standard deviation. And, there's a mathematical way to say, okay, if this is the projected outcome, like last night, let's say 4-point margin, and if it ends up being, significantly more or less,
yeah,
then, there's a way to say how many standard deviations is it away. What I can say for sure is the NFL side. So it's the spread in NFL games is the most accurate line in all of sports. And the line gets more accurate later in the week, closer to game time. So if you say Monday, how accurate's the line for next Sunday? And then Tuesday, Wednesday, literally each day that passes, the line gets more and more accurate, which is why it's vital, if you're able to bet as early as you're comfortable, because to bet on game day and win is so much harder than to bet 5 days before and win.
As long as you've got the right side of it. But there isn't like some like year to year, generally the line or the deviance or whatever the term is.
But if I said something like here's a number and that's what the that's what the standard deviation is, it wouldn't mean anything. What I can say is if you think about a teaser, right? So a teaser is 6 points,
and you got to
bet two games to win for one effectively. So what they're saying is that a teaser is going to win about 66% of the time, or upwards to 70. So if you think about it, that's an interesting thing. So it's going to be within 6 points of the line in your direction, and assuming that you're going to win the game 50% of the time you're going to cover, and then the other 28% or so is going to be within 6 points. So it is kind of telling that one out of four games you'll lose but be within 6 points. So the line's pretty tight.
All right.
So when we're talking about...
Oh, and by the way, PropSwap. Sorry, RJ is brought to us by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets. PropSwap.com. Go ahead.
There's been a big swing on the Pittsburgh-Buffalo line this week, we saw.
Yeah, and I think it's justified. Obviously, to some degree, Pittsburgh losing and Buffalo looking so good, both on the same night, where the compare and contrast was obvious, was telling. I also think this is one of the worst, if not the worst, situation of any team for the Steelers in the NFL this year. There might be some sense of, finally the Ravens game got played and the aftermath. No, this is a team that has not had a legitimate bye. The Steelers have not had a bye. And I don't think we've seen a team this late in the year without a bye. Now, you could say, well, they didn't play a game that week against when they should have played Tennessee. But they practiced the whole week. So, to me, it makes the Steelers winning the number one seed all the more important, or they'd have to literally play through the Super Bowl in theory without a bye. We've never seen that. And I think that being on short rest again this week, Monday to Sunday, is a big disadvantage. And you could say the Bills aren't short rest, but they didn't have the accumulated fatigue that Pittsburgh does. This line is saying the Bills are a better team than Pittsburgh because home field's only about one now. But I don't think that's what it's saying. It's saying the circumstances are really bad for the Steelers, and I would actually like the Bills here because of it.
RJ, tough team to read Tampa Bay all year long. You think, hey, this is the time they're going to pop, they're going to get going, and they lose all their big primetime games. They're coming off the bye. Minnesota, team's kind of in trouble. 6.5, I think, is the spread.
Minnesota's in the playoffs right now.
I thought they've been playing like crap, haven't they?
Well, I mean, they've won some close games, but, I mean...
I said, Minnesota's not a terrible team. They're a good team. Not bad.
Why does everybody think great. Minnesota stinks?
Well, listen, they had the. I mean, it goes to show you how that first game against Green Bay, you have, you know, those games that really stick in your mind. And plus, let's be candid, they've won in overtime. You know, they were a 10-point favorite a week before last. And, you know, so I agree with you that they haven't been playing up to potential all year. But the fact they're still in the playoffs, and Cousins has been playing really well.
Okay,
I like Minnesota a good bit. Because to me, here's the thing you got to know. The only time you get value is if there's a factor that's not accounted for in the line. So this is a must-win game in a way for Tampa. And you know what? It's accounted for in the line. Because think about a team like Washington. I know there were circumstances with rest for Pittsburgh, but Washington closed like as a 5.5-point underdog at Pittsburgh. So you're telling me the distance from Pittsburgh to Washington is less than the distance from Tampa to Minnesota? Because Minnesota right now is 6.5 moving towards 7.
Yeah.
So I think that if it wasn't for the must-win nature, if it wasn't for the bye, and remember, byes aren't near as effective, and this is a real secret that no one, I'm sure Belichick knows, but hardly anyone knows, is byes, if the next game's on the road, win 54% of the time straight up. Byes that are not on the road, that's home, win only 50, you know, or at least against the spread, it's 54-50. So the home field is going to give you some edge. But literally, the bye is a big factor to your advantage that the market isn't accounting for if the team ends up playing on the road, not at home. And late season buys, December buys, are really historically bad for that team, whereas they don't do as well coming back. So I think that Minnesota is the right side, and I think the money line, you know why? Because if it gets late, I know Brady's Brady, but, man, the pressure the rest of those Bucks are going to be feeling in a tight game late – I'd rather be Minnesota.
Wow, I like that one. All right, could go Minnesota straight up in that one.
Well, you know, put 60% on this on the spread, 40 on the money line. That way, you win if it covers a little, and if they win, you win a jumbo bet.
How about Kansas City, Miami? Any thoughts on that this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think that this Miami New England dynamic is fascinating. So, you guys may recall, I loved New England last week, and the reason being, Miami's scheme did so well against the Chargers that I figure, all right, Belichick's going to be able to do that, if not more, and we were right about that. And I think now with Kansas City, you can say, well, how's New England done against them as well as any team defensively? And thus, I think that Miami should be able to emulate that, and because of that, I like the Dolphins. And also, if you actually look at the stats last 4 weeks, this is going to sound shocking, is Kansas City's defense by expected points allowed, expected points added, is actually the 30th ranked defense in the last four games. So a trend down for the KC defense. They flipped the switch, right? Who knows how motivated they're going to be? I think the 7's a nice value play.
You know what I sort of want to ask you week to week is what to avoid. You know, your Freddie Fanny Pack picks that you've given
us
over the years. Like, what are the traps out there?
At the bar?
Yeah, Barney at the bar, Freddie Fanny Pack. What are the other ones?
I think the Titans might be a trap, but I feel of two minds there, because I do think whenever you have a road favorite that's really motivated – It's a good bat, and I think the Titans are motivated, but, man, everyone's going to think they are, and I think it, you know, and Jacksonville's been playing better. It's all relative, right? I think avoid the Cardinals because of the injury. If you actually look at QBR, I like this, by the way. I'm going to start doing this. If you actually look at QBR and they actually account for what percentage of the total contribution of the quarterbacks from running, is Kyler Murray's 34% of his contributions running. But the last three games, he's only rushed five times or so each game, where he had gone like six straight games prior with double-digit runs. He's hurt. Now, at some point, he's going to feel better, and maybe it's this week. But if it's not this week, I do not want to bet Cardinals if Murray's not running for sure.
Good point. Good point.
I also would say real quick here, and I got a total that I love. I love over in the Raiders Colts. And I'm a big fan later in the year of looking at the last 4 weeks, comparing it to the season. So the Colts on the season are about 15th on offense and 15th on defense. But in the last month, they're number 5 on offense and number like 28 on defense. Now, some of that strength of schedule and all that, but I'm telling you, the Colts offense is getting better. And what? How does the Colts do if they don't get pressured? Exceptionally well. And to me, I think that the Raiders are not a pressure team. And the Raiders have a running back that may or may not play. But if they pass more, it's not the end of the world. So I actually like over. I played it over 51, but right now it's up to 52 over in the Raiders game.
All right, RJ. Appreciate the time and the insight as always.
We got to come
Thank
up.
You.
Yeah, we got to come up with a like a catchy name for that segment. You know,
get it sponsored, maybe.
Well, I mean, like that uses all your catchphrases. Like, don't be a drunk baby at the bar flipping a quarter with the duct tape holding the fanny pack to your diaper.
Christmas Something. Eve, I'll work on it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
See
RJ. You, RJ Bell on Twitter at RJ in Vegas is where you find him there, and every night,
baby on a simulcast
every weeknight. On Fox Sports Baby's Radio National, our appreciation for RJ Bell.
Drunk baby.
It looks like the great gazoo showing up on the screen.
Flip the quarter. Where's mama?
Mama.
Lunch.
We've got fake promos that are coming up, the best of from the year. That is at 1:36 today. Artie and T-Bone have been hard at work today, filtering through those many, many fake promos from the course of the year. We'll get to that coming up. We've got your calls next. The telephone number. Let's go to Anthony, who's in Holliston. What's up, Anthony?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to talk about the offensive performance last night. I just can't believe that the Patriots coach is going into the game, figured that game plan was going to work. Even if they didn't go down a few touchdowns to start the game, it just didn't make sense. And then they were still running the wing T or I formation offset, down 21 points in the third and fourth quarter. They have one of the best pass catching running backs in the game with James White, and he's underutilized. They don't go in shotgun, and the coaches don't trust Cam Newton to throw the ball downfield at all, which is kind of a mistake. So I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that. Thank you.
Why do you think that's a mistake?
I think it's a mistake because Cam Newton has shown his a couple of times this year. He's come back against the Seahawks. He almost came back against the Bills. I don't know why they keep trying to restrict him. And then they get, for instance, they get down to the goal line. Rams have a good defense. The only thing that they're going to see is Cam Newton run the ball up the middle or read option. They got to be able to switch it up, provide a little dynamic ability.
Okay.
These coaches are good. They're gonna be able to pick up on the stuff, which they did, and you clearly saw last night. Maybe James White shouldn't be going out blocking downfield. He should be. He should not be the one that's on the perimeter making blocks for Cam Newton.
Okay, that doesn't make. First of all, James, one of your best blocking backs. He's your scan back. He is your blitz pickup artist. The guy knows all the protections. He never makes a mistake. You need him in interior wise because Cam needs all the help he can get to keep that pocket clean. The problem with putting James in a game, it's like that massive indicator. Okay, whoa, 28's in the game. Super Bowl MVP. Okay, guess what he is? Screen back, right? Screen back draw, screen and draw. Those are two big plays. I don't know if Cam's accurate enough to put James out in formation, split him out to where Tom would throw the slants to him. Those are tough throws for Cam. They're afraid to put it in Cam's hands, really, is the big part of it. They're sort of like McVay with Goff there at points in that game when you could see Goff getting ready to crap his pants. He's a nervous wreck at times when you put people around him, which I ask the question in return, why did you play more man and go blitz Goff all day? Like, once you knew they were trying to throw, like, they didn't commit to the run. They ran it all first half and that, but then, like, we got to get cute with our motion and our jet sweep because this is what we do when we speed through and we flood zones. And Jared's going to let it. When you get people around Goff, man, he panics. You know that. You saw it a couple weeks ago with Miami. And you played basically all zone this game, which is a head-scratcher to me. Just a bad game plan all around. Got out-coached in this game.
Let's go to Murph, who is in Southie today. What's up, Murph?
Hey, guys. Hey, Zoe, do you remember yesterday when you mentioned Taysom Hill and Cam Newton in the same sentence or even compared them?
I remember mentioning Taysom Hill. I never compared the two.
Well, you mentioned them in the same sentence, and I don't even see how you can mention them in the same sentence.
No. You were listening to our show, and a caller called in saying to bring Stidham
off. Yeah, can you use Stidham like Taysom Hill is what the caller said.
Like Taysom Hill, and that's what led to the discussion, which I think we eventually laughed at the caller, and Beto hung up and said, we're not doing this.
Okay. Well, that is fair, and based on what other people are saying, why not try something different? Why not bring in a package where Stidham does something, maybe Cam lines up next to him, confuses the defense? Why keep doing the same gadget options and same crap where you got Cam Newton falling down like a willow tree just to get 3 yards?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because the next natural step is changing the quarterback out to Stidham. Not using Stidham as a gadget player. Do you understand that Taysom Hill has been the gimmick next to Drew Brees, like one of the great quarterbacks of this era? You don't do that with another bad quarterback. Like, you don't do that next to a guy who has had struggles.
Plus, you want to bring Stidham in the same huddle, but then take another skill guy off the field. You lack enough skill guys as it is.
It just doesn't make sense.
Didn't we have another call? Move him to tight end? Move Cam Newton to tight end or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
Getting loopy.
Yeah, I get the feeling that if you're hesitant to, I don't know, maybe move N'Keal Harry to tight end, you're probably going to have even more reservations about moving Cam Newton to tight end.
Maybe.
Is that?
Maybe, yes.
I think so.
Can
we talk about Harry real quick?
Sure.
We've crushed this kid, justifiably so.
Yeah.
But start to make a couple plays here and there for what it is. And that's the sad part of it is you're struggling on offense and – okay, maybe we got something here. Can we feed him a little bit more? Like on that double move, he ran two really good double moves. The first double move, he came back and caught that one long 30-yarder down the left side.
I like that play.
The next double move on the other side, the guy grabbed him. They missed the call, but Cam didn't give him a chance. See, Cam's ball was so flat.
You want that flag thrown on that when he got grabbed by the shoulder?
Do I want that flag
thrown? You'd lose your mind if that flag got thrown against the Patriots.
Of course I would. And I wasn't calling. I did not call for the flag.
Okay, good.
I was calling for a better ball. Like,
that's fair.
He got by the player, and Cam's just like, just put it up to him. He's the guy that goes up and gets it higher than anybody. Like,
they're just not high percentage plays, though. You know, they're just not high percentage plays with him.
But you got to take shots. They're going to just sit on you all day.
You got to like, though. You got to like the catch that he did have on that left side that you just mentioned.
And how about
the one high one? And he had the defender turned around. The defender, I mean, it was decent coverage, even though he got tripped up at the end.
The best catch of the night was the one over the middle. It was a third down, and the ball was thrown high into the inside. And he elevated, went up, and made a great catch. And took a shot right in the ribs and held on to the ball. That's showing progress. That's trending forward.
Who was that anchor? Was that Williams that was covering him there?
I can't remember.
Yeah. But those plays, like the one on the left side, are the plays we saw him make in the highlights from Arizona State.
Yeah.
There's plays like that.
Yeah.
not exactly getting by guys, but he did get by a guy, and then throw wasn't exactly perfect. Where is, hold on. They keep reshuffling phone lines here on me. Let's go to John in Maryland. John, thank you for hanging on. Appreciate it.
Hey, Zo, how are you?
Hi, John.
Last time I spoke to you was before the Tennessee game. I convinced to fly up to Boston and watch the game because I thought it was a turning point game. I think last night was a turning point game for the franchise. You were right on your take at 10 o'clock. I think that's the proper take. But I was also thinking, we had Brady for 20 years. I looked at the other 32 teams. Other than KC, Seattle, maybe Green Bay, and maybe Buffalo, over the next 5 years, you know you have your quarterback. If you field a great team or a decent team, they can take you to the Super Bowl. You know, we're like the other 27 teams now. We got to find our guy. It's going to take some time. But I know Newton's not it. I know Stidham's not it. So it's just going to take a time. I think the fans need to know that, understand that it's going to take maybe a little more time, but we got to find that guy. But the other 27, 28 teams out there doing the same thing. So
looking for their next guy?
Yeah, for the guy who can go to, can say, we have our guy. If we field a decent team, he can take us to the Super Bowl. We don't have to worry about the quarterback position. KC doesn't have to worry about it. Seattle doesn't have to. Green Bay for the next 5 years, maybe he's getting a little older. Rodgers, 37. And Josh Allen. Now, Goff took the Rams one time. I don't know if you put him in that category, but there's probably like five teams out there to say, we got our guy. He's going to get the job done. We just have to put the supporting cast
okay,
in.
Okay, I get what you're saying. There's only five or six teams that know they have a guy who's capable of winning the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean that all the other teams are actively looking for their next quarterback. In fact, I would say the Patriots are hitting this at a pretty good time because most teams have a guy that they are at least invested in for the time being. Most teams do. We can run down the list quickly if you want.
Those ones at the top that are picking again, like the Jets just picked the top five guy. So there's going to be a top five guy that's going to be available if they want to pick Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to make decisions too. Like you picked a guy there. You're going to do it again. You know, Jacksonville. Look at the money they spent too. Like, you ready to pick another guy?
Yeah, listen, I think there are probably 5 to 7 teams that are looking to go in order. The Panthers, I think, are still they're looking for their next guy. Teddy Bridgewater is fine, but I don't think he's the guy for the long term. The Bears need a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars need a quarterback.
Yep.
Then you have
what's San Francisco doing?
Right, but that's the next tier down, though.
That's carousel stuff, though. But that type of stuff, I think, needs to get spinning for you to start getting in the mix here.
Washington is going to need a quarterback. The Patriots are going to need a quarterback. So that right there is, I think, five teams I've just named. And then you have a few others that are sort of in that tweener stage that you mentioned. What's up with San Francisco? Are you looking for a new guy? What's up with the Saints? Is Drew Brees coming back? Do you want to go to Taysom Hill? Like, what's going to be your plan? Oh, I didn't name the Jets. Obviously, we know
Atlanta,
what they're going to do.
Atlanta, you're resetting. What are you
Atlanta,
doing?
Right. What are you guys doing? But if that happens where they do decide Detroit. To go somewhere else, there will be other quarterbacks available. You know, there could be a quarterback carousel this offseason.
I like that.
You always talk about the coaching carousel. You could have quarterbacks that are in this conversation of teams that will have new quarterbacks, but they're guys who were starting for a team a year ago. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a lot of guys that are in that mix that could get shuffled up and go to other places. Matt Stafford is a name that we've discussed. That's a fourth guy right there.
It doesn't seem as out of the question as it used to. Part of it is Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. Part of it is Philip Rivers leaving San Diego or L.A. or whatever the hell. Like the notion that a franchise quarterback, the guy that stays with that team and never leaves, and it happens. You know, it happened with Joe Montana, and I know Brett Favre left, but we haven't really seen significant movement from significant quarterbacks to the degree that we're starting to see now. And I think you're right, Beetle. I think we could see again. I mean, they may not be the best guys in the league, but there's a handful of them that you would definitely put in the top third and the top half that could end up making a change. And I don't know if it speaks to what could be, you know, happening to that position and the way it's thought of around the NFL, but, you know, the conversation has changed in the last year or so based on some of the movement we've seen already.
Right. So think about this list. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz. These are all starters on teams this year. And every single one of those guys could end up on a different team starting next year. Jimmy Garoppolo, add that name. That's seven names right there. They could all end up on different teams, and one of those teams could be the New England Patriots. And I think the Patriots will be drafting someone as well. Fake promos are coming up next segment. We'll get to headlines, and I think we'll have time to get to the rest of the calls as well. So stay all tuned.
Right. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Drops back looking that way. Rears back and throws a low pass behind Woods. It's intercepted by Miles Bryant. Yeah. Leaps to his feet. Runs down the left sideline to the five. Into the end zone. It's a pick six. The rookie with a Patriots touchdown.
There you go, defense. Somebody had to make a play. I said you need seven from him, but we're going to have to go back and make sure he didn't get touched off the rollover, because I thought he was there at the point of contact. The ball's down, it's up, and he just takes it off the knees. It's going to be tough. I think they're going to call him down.
It's likely to be an interception.
Hey, but go though.
Ryan,
yeah,
ruled down by contact.
It's definitely a turnover.
The previous play is under review.
You're going to get the ball.
That was Miles Bryant with a pick six, it appeared, last night. It was then called back, so you were wondering about it as soon as the play happened, and then they went and took a look at it. But Miles Bryant, I think, has been a pleasant little surprise for the New England Patriots this season. What about the play itself, though? Because there is a case to be made, Zoe, that he did not have possession of the ball until well after he was contacted by Woods, right? They're tangled. He takes the ball. He's got the ball. They're rolling over. He's clearly being touched by Robert Woods. But I don't know that he had possession yet, so I am curious about that.
There's so much confusion with the catch rule, and there still is. Like, do we still know what a catch is or what isn't a catch in the National Football League? From the reverse angle, when you really slow it down, I see Woods stop sort of, you know, going towards the sideline, takes his fingers down, catches the ball on his fingertips. It's low. The ball's a bad throw, low and behind him. And then that's when the contact with Bryant starts to happen.
Is it on the arm when he does this?
And then you see Woods' left knee down on the ground. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is that a catch? And then Bryant's making contact, so now he's technically down. But then on the rollover, he takes the ball away from Woods. So the original catch happened with Woods. He took the ball off of Woods is what happened there. So it's really a catch and a fumble to me, not an interception. I just thought they got the call right, because, I mean, so many times this year we've seen guys be down and barely be grazed by the tip of a finger. They've called guys down. I just thought there was too much contact off the rollover that they've got to be able to look at this and say, okay, there's contact there. He's down. I didn't think it was a pick six.
I think there's a case to be made that it was a pick six, and it would have changed things pretty dramatically in the course of events special in that game. Right?
Yeah,
let's say it holds up.
Right?
Let's say it holds up. How does that game look different in that first half?
Well, the quarterback gets a little tighter now. That kid, he's like, ooh, starts getting a little shaky, you know? And he doesn't need much to get him shaky. I kept trying to make that point all night. He got skittish in that pocket. You know, for a kid that's played as much as he has and as many times as they've thrown, he don't want to get hit, and he's looking to get rid of the ball and as quick as he can. You could get to him. I think you mentally could get to that player. Not that impressed with him. He didn't have a good night.
He never looks good against the Patriots.
Beat by a player 24-3 on a quarterback. Thought he played great. He's high-fiving guys after the game. He's going over to shake hands, hat on. Like, he thinks he's the part. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Matthew in Hopkinton. Take it away, Matt.
Hi. I was just like, I think one of the main reasons why, like, the Patriots aren't, like, really close to making the playoffs is, like, the play calling and the goal line. Like, I feel like what they did, I know, in week two against Seattle is what they did. Like, they faked the quarterback draw, then did a fullback flare, and then Jakob Johnson was wide open. I'm just not sure why they don't do that anymore, or, like, who use the fullback in the goal line.
Question. Why don't you do ineligible lineman, throw back to him? You know, other teams do it. Saw Cleveland do it last week. Creativity. You know, last week you saw Cam motion out, direct snap, let's go. You didn't see any of that stuff last night. It was almost like really back to basic elementary 101 football. Regular personnel, offset fullback, motion across, slot this side. And I just think you limit yourself at times. Maybe that's because a quarterback can't handle it. I don't know.
Anthony in Everett. Anthony.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, guys. Just a couple comments last night from the game. I just wanted to ask what you thought about the coaching moves. I don't think Harry's a tight end. I think he's a big, speedy, deep threat. I think he should be stretching the field more.
Speedy? You think speedy?
I do think he has speed, yeah.
Okay.
Asiasi, I was just wondering why he hasn't seen the field as a tight end. They never play him, and they drafted him high.
Well, he's been inactive. He's been hurt. Been up and down. He had a personal issue.
I'm just saying, I think that they don't. I don't think they use him correctly. His prototype. He's definitely not a tight end. And I just think the biggest need is quarterback. I just think that Cam is the most athletic quarterback the Patriots have ever had, but he's just the dumbest quarterback. And Jordan Love would probably be a good move.
No, that's not a move they're going to make. That guy's not going to be available to you.
First round pick from Green
Bay. I don't think Cam is dumb either.
No,
I think he's. I think he's a smart player. I think he's. He's got. He's got the resume. He's got everything that made me feel like he was the guy and he was the right choice.
He's played in the league and he's played at a high level.
I still think so. And you pointed this out way, way early on in the process. He's dealing with something, and the abdominal thing is something new. But you said shoulder something or that. There's something affecting his throwing motion that just makes him incapable of playing the position, I think, of way it needs to be played, regardless of how you try and scheme it or who he's throwing to. It's just, you got to be able to throw a little bit.
Marty, you got a daughter. She ever had the puzzle pieces where, you know, you get the little princess and you could change the head, you could change the body, you could change the legs, and they're interchangeable. Let's mix and match the outfits and that. It's almost like at times when you watch Cam's legs, they're going this way.
Yeah.
The torso's going this way. The left arm's up, the shoulder's down, and it's a Charles Barkley funk of a golf swing. His throwing motion is what it is. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Because when he comes off that deep play action fake, and he could set his feet, and his feet are up under him nice and tight, and he could see the in-cut backside, I'm confident that. That's Devin Funchess. I got that one. I'm going to zing this ball in there. Or a little half motion from the right. Let's get Jacoby Myers up. Let him sell it. Let him run away. Let me make sure he's open, running away from someone, and then I can throw that sucker in there. Those are his two best throws. I know that from 13 games watching it. In cut, deep comeback, or that deep drag. Those are Cam's three throws. That's what he did at Carolina really well.
Devin Asiasi, 23 snaps last night. That was 39% of the offensive snaps. Dalton Keene was on the field for 31 snaps, which was more than half. For the Patriots, just two.
Dalton Keene was out there more than half. How many targets he get?
Keene was out there for 53% of the snaps.
Zilcho.
Yeah. Mike in the marina today. Michael.
Gentlemen, another quality week of programming. Thanks for that. And I do want to give a quick congratulations to Mr. Hardy, deservedly so, for his generous contract extension commensurate to his talent.
Wait, it was generous?
Levels. But I think.
Do you got a details on that?
Well, I mean, you could speak to that better than me. I think we, the callers, would be a little remiss in not thanking the hosts for subsequently taking less for the team to make this all fit, you know, for the callers' benefit.
Well,
so I do thank the hosts.
Say
I think
this.
Everybody
it,
does.
Yeah, it was not a holdup in the deal at all. Zoe was the first to raise his hand and say, take part of my money and give it to Hardy. And Beetle was quick to follow suit, but Zoe was the first.
In a 10-year NFL career, I don't even know if Zoe even ever restructured for any team. So that's something to be said.
I know.
I got to agree.
It is not lost on me. And he's going to be getting a nice Christmas card.
I read the contracts on cocktail napkins, okay?
That's great. And I got a request here as we wrap up the holiday season or the end of a bearish. It's been a hell of a year, but are we going to do any sort of Festivus coming down Christmas week? There's a lot of grievances to be said.
I feel like we're on the forefront of the Festivus stuff, and I think it's been played out. Plus, we're not going to be here anywhere close to Festivus.
Oh,
this
year. No, we're done next week.
Yeah,
we're checking out hard. Artie's got money to spend now, money to burn.
Yeah.
All right, so he's got to do kinds of shopping.
Thanks to the signing bonus. You know, there's the big signing bonus.
Again, thank you, Zoe.
Like
that's all thanks, Zoe, for that.
I'd like to extend a happy Hanukkah to all my Hebrew friends out there. So, no, it's the first day of Hanukkah. It's the gifts that keep giving 8 days, baby.
Well, last night was Last night was night number one.
Night number one.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very religious.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you haven't used your health savings or flex spending accounts yet, you have those pre-tax dollars sitting there. What are you waiting for? Use them by losing weight with Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
We've got 12 of these to get to, so let's roll it.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
You're pulling it, and if there's like parts of it stuck in there, and I couldn't, you know, it was tough to reach, and I'm doing it with a mirror, and I'm like, it wasn't all that big, though. I don't think, but I don't know what size it was when it started.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is that about the tick bite?
It's about the tick. These are our best of, once again.
Is that
these
TikTok?
That's TikTok.
This is April and May, all these T-bone?
April, May, June, July.
Oh, April, May, June, July. That's why we had so many to get through. All right, that was
a tick pics.
That was some TikTok.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
All right. Watched some sports last night.
You did? What did you watch? Neat.
Karate Kid 2.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Technically, sport.
We just thought maybe you were watching live sports of some sort.
So, I mean, was it sport, though? I mean, were they engaged in an actual sporting contest? That was a fight at the end of
teams.
That thing.
Yep, there were teams, and there were belts. Yeah.
And Karate Kid 2?
Wasn't there?
That was the thing with the drum.
Oh, that was Sato.
I got you, old friend.
Oh, come here, Sato. I'll save you.
Okay. Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Syphilis or Ebola?
You know what, Beetle? You have gonorrhea.
Oh, syphilis, Hardy. Hardy, syphilis.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I stand by that comment. You don't want Ebola. You can get meds for syphilis.
That's the strongest.
Not that I'm speaking from experience. I'm just saying there's drugs for that.
It's the strongest opinion you had all year.
Yes.
No. Syphilis. I will take syphilis.
Ebola can kill you quickly. Syphilis, you go get the penicillin or something, and you know, you're all better.
Ow.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Tested positive twice, and it's been way more than 14 days. Now I'm just concerned about my mental health.
Well, how is your mental health?
What's the matter with your mental health?
I don't know.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We do appreciate that self-awareness. We do.
Well, then he drank alcohol to kill it.
That's usually not recommended, so I know that's what you try to do, but
not
recommended.
Like real, like scotch or something. Like he said he was like drinking nips. He killed it.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
It is very soft, feminine pastel. It looks baby blue on TV. It ain't. It is.
Where'd you get that? The Amazon woman store?
Good one.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
These are prime pandemic shows.
Jerk store called. They're out of you.
Yeah. Oh, did you Google Amazon women's clothes? And
yeah, there's a lot of pandemic moments in this.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
I got a home listing for you.
What?
We have a home listing to review of an athlete on the move.
Oh, homeless?
A home listing.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I still hear homeless thing.
I only hear homeless listing.
Homeless thing.
Homeless thing.
Homeless thing.
I hear that.
Yeah, it's like that
you
dress.
You and I both froze. We're like, oh, that's sad.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
This one's got a massive head, Hardy.
No, I think it's safe to say this thing is twice the size. And I,
oh, look at the guy holding it, Hardy.
Oh, look at that. It is.
Look at that photo.
Oh, it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger than yours.
It's so much bigger than yours.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports
Hub. I have no recollection of that one.
I think that might be the turtle.
Oh, yes, it is. You're absolutely right.
You are.
How are your turtles, by the way?
Never saw a baby turtle. I think something got to those eggs that got laid.
Daddy.
Never saw
them. Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm thinking maybe steamers would be a good one for them.
With a locomotive engine. Steam coming off right on the chest. They haven't been great on the base paths this season. We all know the Cleveland Steamers are better when they're not running.
They've been a real solid team.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Trying to come up with a new name for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes. Yeah. That was a great moment.
10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Listen, bread in a can is very popular. You can still buy it.
But do you still eat it, Chuck?
Yes.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, thus.
Yes.
Same guy?
Yes.
Same guy in this next one, T-Bone? Different guy.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
And you are 58 years old.
61.
He sounds 60.
All right.
Another thing is Yorkshire Ducks.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know.
Yorkshire Ducks?
Yorkshire Ducks? Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
So get a Gravely or Aaron Zero turn mower for as little as $20.69.9.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
$100,069,900.
What a steal.
McCone.
McBody's here today, too.
McBone.
No way.
You made there the best of fake promos, kid.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
So unless you like a lot of mayonnaise.
So we do this salad in the summer. It's called a pasta salad.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tell us more.
What is it called again?
Did you learn this from Bobby Flay? What is it?
Did you go buy some mayonnaise at that new contract?
At the Amazon condiment store.
Amazon sport bottle store.
I see McBone ready to go. Mayonnaise eater. He'll be on with whatever the Felger Mad Show is today. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.